Program supervisor in Washington County, Oregon. Under supervisor of the deputy medical examiner, she has attended over 100 violent death investigations, and together they have developed a novel suicide surveillance system, which she will be discussing today.
Good afternoon. All right, in 10 very quick minutes, I'm going to go over how we went from a community health assessment to a surveillance system. Buckle up. So why suicide? Washington County, Oregon, in our previous three community health needs assessment, identified suicide as a top health issue. Looking at our vital statistics data, we saw that our suicide rate was driven by our non-Hispanic white males over the age of 65. That's not enough to drive a suicide prevention program. So I went on the hunt for some more data. Oregon is a founding member of the National Violent Death Reporting System, so that means we have state-level data from 2003 to present. Now, I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to read the NVDRS coding manual. It's 498 pages. It is the best coding manual I have ever read in my entire life. I'm super serious. It is outstanding. They have examples and everything. So if you get the opportunity, check it out. So what does being a member of NVDRS actually get you in terms of risk factors for suicide specifically? If you combine it with vital statistics, you can get information like this. And what you're looking at is a breakdown of suicides among male veterans for the state of Oregon. It's a roll-up by age. And as you can see, there are certain areas, risk factors, such as intimate partner problem, where the younger vets have higher prevalence of an intimate partner problem than our older vets. This is very helpful for guiding prevention efforts. And this was produced by our Oregon Health Authority Injury Prevention Program. So what's the problem with NVDRS? Well, the NVDRS is a state-based surveillance system, and I'm at a local county. The timeliness, that was the most recent report we have out. That's 2008 to 2012. We've had a lot of increases in suicide since then, so that's a little bit rough. And I know that's something everybody deals with every data source. Before I went on this adventure to develop a new surveillance system, we did a vetting of our medical examiner narratives to the NVDRS abstraction and found a 30% error rate. That was a little too high for comfort. And finally, the real kicker on NVDRS, no and unknown are combined, which means any sort of regression analysis is not possible. So I wanted something that could fix all this. So over the course of several years, I met with everybody involved in the death system in Oregon, and interestingly, nobody knew the entire picture. So I'm going to walk you through this really quickly. When there is a violent death in Oregon specifically, you have the deputy medical examiners, law enforcement, EMS, and fire all show up at the scene. If the person needs an autopsy, they go to the state medical examiner's office. If they don't, they're taken by a funeral home. So the deputy medical examiner, what they do is they write a narrative statement based on information from everybody who shows up at the scene. So they are required by law in Oregon to give that information to the deputy medical examiner. The deputy medical examiner writes the report, gives it to our state medical examiner, and we have board certified forensic pathologists in Oregon, and they rule on the manner and cause of death, which goes into our vital event system, death certificate, vital statistics. So vital statistics then tells our injury prevention program at the state, hey, you've had a suicide in Oregon. Then, unfortunately, the state has to go back to everybody at the start of the scene and request those reports. Now, the only people that are required by law to give them that information is the deputy medical examiner. So as you can see, that can be an issue for data. And finally, our state abstracts the medical examiner narrative in addition to any other information they might get, and then they ship that off, and that is the foundation of the NVDRS. So, thinking about how to make the system potentially better, I thought of, instead of the NVDRS, why don't we go right to the DMEs? Now I realize this might be a little bit of a paradigm shift or heresy, but I figured it's always better to actually go right to the source, so why not have the DMEs do the actual abstraction? So naturally I went to our medical examiners that are housed inside public health, and this is Charles Lovato. And I said, hey Charles, can I go to a death scene? And he said, who are you? And I said, and I talked about this program, and I was interested in getting better data. So I rode with our medical examiners and went to every single violent death in our county for 2 years. And I don't know how many of you have been to a death scene, but I had this idea that it was going to be, we were going to roll up in a county-issued black Hummer wearing sunglasses and heels, obviously. And everybody's going to be like, wow, the medical examiner is here. And I'd be like, I'm an epi. But in reality, it's much less sexy than that. This was a methamphetamine overdose. You can see the black mold growing up the walls. We spent 4 hours in this scene alone, just looking through crack pipes, collecting evidence, all kinds of stuff. So they have a very, very, very messy job, quite literally. But the most amazing thing that I learned in all this experience with our medical examiners is everything that the NBDRS asked for in the coding manual, all of it, they already ask in the course of a normal death investigation. They already ask all those questions. So I wasn't asking them to do anything past what they were doing. I just needed a way to harvest the information. And that information doesn't go into their narrative statement because the forensic pathologists don't want to read 45-page reports. They just want things that are forensically germane to the investigation. So we had to figure out a way to capture that. Enter the CRAP form, Consolidated Risk Assessment Profile, the medical examiners named it. They send me emails that say, fresh crap coming your way, two more craps, as you... So we have had to rename it the Suicide Consolidated Risk Assessment because so many other counties and states have adopted this for use, and the medical examiner coroner gets to name it. Those are the rules. But this is what they use. This is 47 risk factors. They fill this out within 24 hours of the death. No, unknown, and yes are all separate. And as we have 3 years of data now. This is the first time it's going to be released. And so that's an N of 214 for Washington County. Now, as a side note, if you go to tinyurl.com/WCCrapApp, Washington County, you can go into the actual data collection instrument our medical examiners use right now. And as you can see, the little risk factors have lines under them. If you click on one, it opens to the NBDRS exact coding definition with examples for that particular risk factor. So this is what we use now. And I'm going to leave that open for a couple weeks so people can look at it. So now to the data. Dun, dun, dun. So 45% of our decedents had a physical health problem. This was the highest risk factor that we encountered in the county. 30% had a prior suicide attempt, which is very high. The state NBDRS for Oregon is about 15%. And as our medical examiners don't enjoy going to suicides and they want to actually stop suicides from happening, they specifically requested that we add this variable, social isolation, because they noticed in the course of their natural investigation, they were seeing this as a big risk factor. So this is something they wanted, and indeed, it looks like 41% of our decedents were experiencing social isolation. 78% of our suicides had a major crisis within the previous 2 weeks. This could speak to the impulsivity of the suicide, which could guide different interventions. Of those experiencing a crisis, the most common was a legal problem, so DUI, custody with kids, those kinds of everyday items that happen to people. But that's a big issue in our county. The next most common was an eviction notice, so loss of housing or eviction. 17% were experiencing that within 2 weeks of their death in our county. That's a lot. And perhaps the most damning of all, I think, is 34% of our decedents had contact with the healthcare within 2 weeks of their death. Now, they're not telling their providers they're suicidal at all, but they're having it. That's a touch point. If we roll that up to a month, it's 45%. Now, I realize having DMEs or death investigators or coroners, as it may be in your jurisdiction, have the abstraction is a little bit unusual. But I ask you to consider it because you're getting data from the source with absolutely no information loss. These are the people who are doing the investigation. And our values, our prevalence tables for these, are double what the state is. That could suggest increased sensitivity by having the DMEs do it. Better data, more infection prevention efforts, and hopefully fewer suicides. When I started this, I told you that we knew our rates were driven by our non-Hispanic white males over the age of 65. Now we know, after surface, that it's driven by our socially isolated Vietnam vets with physical health issues living in rural areas. Those are very, very different interventions. And that, my friends, is the value of a robust surveillance system. Thank you.